Is that? Okay, good. All right. How many of you have ever read the preface in this hymn book? Raise your hand. Be honest. How many of you? Probably not many people, right? Really, okay? And obviously, it is in English, so you can't say that it's only in Chinese, okay? But it's all right. But in probably the preface to God's hymn book is the book of Psalms. And the preface of that is Psalms chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, open to Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Because the hymnal in the Bible is the book of Psalms. And so as you're turning there, Psalms was written, and a lot of people find a lot of encouragement from this book of Psalms. And obviously it's 150 chapters, and a lot of people use that for their quiet times. Now, obviously, I'm a big proponent that we should read the entire scripture from Genesis to Revelation. But a lot of people do find hope and faith and encouragement and understanding from their study in the book of Psalms. And so I think it's an excellent book, obviously, because it is the Bible. But I hope that you also, in my time, you know that reading the entire oracles of the Bible, the whole Bible is important, okay? And so let me read from you Psalm chapter 1. We'll be reading the entire chapter, and I know that sounds long, but Psalm only has 6 verses in chapter 1, okay? So it's the preface of the book of Psalm. Let's begin verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. And for the youth who asked those questions, it's the 1984 version, okay? All right. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away, or chaff. Some people call it chaff, some chaff. Okay. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment of the wicked, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege you give us to come and to worship you this morning. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you for just how you brought everyone here this morning. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts might be open to your word. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm chapter 1 begins with the word blessed. And in fact, actually, if you think about it, two of the most popular words in Christianity today in the Christian vocabulary is either the word bless or blessing. Now, nowhere does Scripture tell us that God blesses programs or promotions. But the Bible does teach that God blesses individuals. God blessed Abraham, if you recall, so he might be a blessing to others. And in many ways, you read through the New Testament that God wants to bless his children. And he wants them to be recipients as well as channels of those blessings that God gives. So what we find here in Psalm chapter 1 in our study is this, is that God wants every believer to be blessed, in his or her life as well as a blessing to others. God blesses us to make us a blessing to other people around us. But he has given us certain conditions in order for us to receive those blessings. Because let's face it, as Christians, we all want to be blessed. We want to be blessed by God. When we were children, we wanted our blessings from our parents. And especially during those times, and I know some of you who are not at that age yet, but you want to make sure that whoever you're going to spend the rest of your life with in marriage, you want your parents' blessings on, okay? And so it's important because we all want to be blessed. We want God's blessing because we definitely don't want discipline. We don't like judgment, but we definitely like the blessings that God distributes to all of us. And we prefer prefer blessing. Sorry about that. All right. So a couple of things you can follow along in your outline, and I believe it's in the orange one that you have out there. Please follow along. There's a couple of things we find. First of all, in order for us to find God's blessing in our life and the conditions we need to do in order to receive that, the first thing we need to do is that we need to be separated and saturated. We need to be separated and saturated. In verses 1 and 2, a couple things we see. In verse 1, it tells us, first of all, that we need to be, number one, we need to be separated from the world. We must be separated from the world. You see, the world, when the scripture talks about it, is anything that separates us from God or causes us to disobey Him. You see, separation, though, when we're talking about this, is not isolation. Okay? Please make that clear. Separation, what I'm saying, is not talking about isolation, but contact without contamination. So separation is not isolation, but contact without contamination. Sin is usually a gradual process. If you look at verse 1, it's a process. Look at verse 1 again. It says that, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. What's interesting is that we can even find that in one of the examples. Let's just say the example of the Apostle Peter. And the Apostle Peter, you follow along in his, and you follow along in how he was when Jesus was going to the cross. Okay? And he was getting judged by Herod and all those guys. What did he do? He first began walking. In Mark chapter 14, verse 54, we see that, what does it say? It says that Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And of course, and then he continued saying that there he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. But he first began by walking with those who were accusing Jesus. And then second, we see that he was standing. We saw it in Mark 15, 54, but also in John 18, 18, it says that it was cold, and the servant and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep themselves warm, and Peter also standing with them, warming himself. So he also sat, and he also stood with them. And then finally, we see that he also was sitting. He began sitting with them. In Luke chapter 22, verse 55, it reads, it says, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, what did Peter do? He sat with them. And then remember, the end result was that, remember, he denied Jesus 3 times. And then the cock crowed, and Jesus heard it, Peter realized it, and he ran off crying because he knew that Jesus' prophecy, or what he said was going to happen, came true. You see, becoming worldly is progressive. It happens by degrees. We make friends with the world, then we become confirmed to it, or conformed to it, I should say, and then in the end, we're condemned with it. You see, sin doesn't just happen in just like that. It's a temptation. You read all the way from Genesis when Eve made the first, when she disobeyed God, all the way to even Peter, and even for us today. It's almost like cancer. Cancer just doesn't happen just like that. You have it, and then it starts to grow. And that's why it's important that for ladies and men, both need to have examinations to see if they have cancer or not, whether it's the blood test, whether it's the other tests that they have. But it's that way. My mom, she passed away of cancer. And in a lot of ways, one of the things that I learned through my mom, as well as her sister who also passed away because of cancer, was that you need to get yourself checked out regularly. And just like our lives, we need to check our lives to make sure we're not walking in sin. That we're not standing with sin. We're not sitting and being involved in sin. And the best way in order for us to get out of that is, secondly, to saturate ourselves with the Word. To saturate ourselves. Whatever delights us directs us. And we saturate ourselves with the Word by meditating on it. Meditation is to the spirit that digestion is to the body. When we meditate on the word, we allow God, the Spirit of God within us, to digest the word of God. And so that not only do we delight in the word, but it becomes a source of spiritual nourishment for us. You see, it's almost like having a piggy bank. And every time you put coins in, like let's just say you have a piggy bank, and every time you have a quiet time, you put a penny in the piggy bank. And as you do it every day, it begins to fill it up. And whenever you need something, you can open up the piggy bank and go buy what you need. In a lot of ways, that's similar to our devotions when we have devotions and quiet times with God. It's because the more we have our quiet times and regularly spend with God, it helps us that when we go through tough times in life, when we go through struggles in life, we have something to help us. God uses it to help us as we go through that challenge or that struggle in life. That's why it's so important to have your quiet time. And so enjoying the blessings of God that has for you, that he has for you, and allow him to make you to be a blessing to others begins by you saturating yourself in the word of God. And that'll help you from not following after the sins that we may progress in not falling into. Okay? God desires, unfortunately we don't have the time, but throughout scripture, God desires to bless you. God desires to bless me. But we must meet his condition for receiving blessings by staying separated from the world and keep saturating ourselves in the word. When we do that, we can expect God's blessings in our life. Resolve today to meditate on the word of God and obeying it. But he will make you a blessing. He will give you a blessing, and he'll make you a blessing to others. Which brings us to the second point, okay? So saturate yourself in the word of God. Second, we are to be situated in a good place. We are situated in a good place. You know, as we were reading this, in verse 3, it begins with a tree. A tree is a blessing. It holds soil, it provides shade, it produces fruit. And see, the godly are like trees because they have a root system that goes deep, deep, deep into the spiritual resources of God's grace. We see that in verse 3. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in the season. But sadly enough, a lot of Christians today are almost like artificial trees. They don't have cut flowers. They may look beautiful at the beginning, but in reality, they'll soon die. Or as in a plastic one, there's no roots. You see, a few things a tree needs is that a tree needs light. It needs water. It needs roots to live. And we all have resources upon which we can draw life. But the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Where are our roots at? Where are our roots at? The person of God and bless is planted by the rivers of life. Okay? The river of water of life. We must be careful not to be like those who are dry Christians, who wither, who depend on their own resources and their own strength. Because when we do, it's like tumbleweeds. It's like chaff, okay? Where when the wind blows, it blows all over the place. Or like a tumbleweed. In fact, actually, the last time when I went down to Los Angeles to see my children, we ran right into a tumbleweed on I-5. And, one of the things that, and I was thinking about this message anyway, and I saw that, and I'm going like, okay, let's see what happens when I hit it. You know, and it flies all over the place. But the whole point I'm getting at is that there's no root. They're not grounded. It goes wherever the wind blows, okay? And so what happens is that when you see something like that in a Christian, when they're like this, every room of doctrine, every program, every promotion, every plan, every wind of things come out, and they follow it. But there, in order for you to have the blessings in verse 3, we need to meet the conditions of verses 1 and 2. That is, we must be separated from the world and saturated in the word. and situated by the waters. So when we follow verses 1 and 2, and tells us, then while in times of personal struggle and in pain and in testings, and it may seem that everything around you may be collapsing. My test isn't going right. My project is not working right. Something broke down that was out of my control. Whatever it is, the more you invest in true devotion and fellowship with the Lord and having quiet time and meditating on His Word, those are things that's going to help you through your life. No matter what you do, whatever what you're going through, God is there and He uses these things to help us. Because in actuality, meditating on His Word is a passport to wisdom as well as innumerable blessings and unspeakable peace. You know, I want to share with you something that I basically learned not too long ago when I was in college, okay? And it helped me understanding what meditating and how to meditate on God's Word. And I wanted to share it with you this morning. Some practical exercises that you could do in meditating the Word. First thing, and I learned this from Dr. Charles Stanley, okay? I was listening to his radio, read a little bit about it, and so these are some of the foundations that you need to do when you want to meditate. And you do this in your quiet time. So basically, this is your quiet time, if you want to use that word, that thought, okay? But set aside time. Now, it doesn't matter the time of day. More importantly, is your frame of mind. Okay? Set aside time. Now, make sure you do it when you're somewhat mostly awake, okay? Many times, you know, people will say, oh, I spend my time in prayer just before I go to bed. Yes, and I'm sure that you stayed on your prayers all the way till the alarm rings. I know, okay? But be conscious, be ready, have your mind set on wanting to do it. And also, too, second of all, stillness. Being still before God means minimizing distractions. So that means put aside your cell phone. Put it on silent or turn it off or put on airport mode. Because you know what? A lot of times those people who are texting you or things or sending you a Facebook notification, it's not that important right now. Turn off the television. Turn off your computer. Turn off your iPad or your notebook or whatever it is. Pray for God to quiet your spirit, okay? And you know, in reality, you can do that, but we're so glued in our world that we have so much things coming at us, and that's why it's a great time to just calm yourself and be in stillness. And also silence. Meditation involves active listening. So as you pray, as you read the Word of God, and I know some people actually do sing, okay? And that's okay. They're singing to God. But listen, think, be still. Because in Psalm 46, you read later on in that, and you don't turn to it now, but it tells us to listen to God in a still, small voice. And when we're quiet and we're in silence, because some of us like to talk more than we listen. James 5 tells us incredible, incredible things. We have two ears and one mouth. What it's telling us is that we should listen first before we speak. But the whole point is that in this time, we need to listen to God's Word. Listen to Him as we pray. Listen to maybe the songs that we may sing. Whatever it is, be still. And also to seclusion. It is important that you meditate alone, developing a personal relationship with your Father. You know, when you have an interest in someone and you want to get to know that person, and you just want to get to know that significant person, you want to just be with them. It doesn't matter what's going on around. You want to be with Him. That's what we should have, that kind of attitude with God. Remember, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with someone. And that's Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to spend time with Him, that we want to spend time with Him. And then finally is self-control, okay? We have a responsibility to be faithful, to seek God. Not legalistically, okay, mind you, but in earnest sincerity. We do not have to answer those emails, those text messages, those instant messages or whatever. You know, those impulses, okay? Those things we need to get done because they're less important during this time of quietness with the Lord, your quiet time. And so I hope that you make that, because this is what I try to practice in my own life, okay? And it's important that you know how to do that, because your strength in your walk with the Lord depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ and your time with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So meditation is crucial, okay? Now, I know that other cults and religions have used that word and meditation, and they've kind of taken it out of, in the sense, context, because we looked at Joshua, where it says meditate on the word. But you will learn, I think, when you do this, you will learn, when you learn meditation in the scripture way, there's several effects. Among other benefits, meditation quiets your spirit. It purifies your heart. It produces a hunger for God and His Word and increases your view about God. I think a lot of Christians are all worried and worked up about all what happened a week ago Tuesday, okay? But you know, in a lot of ways, if you look at the perspective from God's perspective, you will see that God is bigger than this whole thing. And we can have our confidence in Him. Because remember, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, yes, you have a citizenship. We've always had dual citizenship, okay? Even before the United States made it dual citizenship allowed. But we had dual citizenship already. We may have been citizens in America or Taiwan or whatever, but our other one, which is more important, is our citizenship in heaven. So it's important. And so when we see this, though, that in contrast, and also, too, I forgot one other thing, but it also, when you have your quiet times and your meditation and you're spending time with God, He gives you direction for your life. And He confirms or cautions you about counsel you may have received, whether it's from someone speaking, whether someone talking to you, whether you hear on the news or the radio. The more you spend with God, God's going to give you guidance and clarity and direction. But you got to spend time with Him. You got to get to know Him. He knows you already, but you need to look to Him and ask Him to help you in all the things you're facing. In contrast to the believer, as we look in the book of Psalms, in chapter 1, the ungodly are not like trees, but are like tumbleweeds. They have no root. They don't produce fruit. They're blown away by every wind of doctrine or everything that goes around or whatever happens in the situation and that happens in the society. They reject the word of God, unfortunately. And they perish with that hope, according to verse 6. So as Christians, we must not reject the ungodly, though. In fact, actually, we must try to reach them. You see, God blesses us so that we might reach those who do not know Him for the purpose of blessing them. First of all, blessing them so that they can know that they have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But God also blesses us so that we can help them in whatever they're doing. It's not just for Christians, but it's also for non-Christians. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to bear fruit so that we can help those around us who do not know Him. And those who have received Him, we can help them so that their faith will be stronger in God, because we have received the fruit of the Spirit in God and that we're practicing it and we're sharing it with others. So we need God's resources to bear fruit. We can't do it on ourselves. And where we place our roots is paramount. Only as we grow them deep, deep, deep into the resources of God that are and His spiritual resources, that the great resources of God's grace will help us to produce fruit. Make the Bible your spiritual resource. Delight in feeding upon it, feeding your soul in it, and gather its truth, because your root system is important because it determines your nourishment. And He desires to help you to go so you won't be tossed by the storms of life or the winds of adversity, because you're able to stand strong. That's why trees are strong, because they have a great root system. People cannot see your root system, trust me, but God can. And praying, meditating on the Word of God will cause your roots to go deep into His love and to know that whatever you're facing, whatever happens, you can have the confidence. So from our study in Psalm 1, it's telling us that we find that God wants every believer to be blessed in his and her life. And that's great to know. But he also wants us to be a blessing to others around us. It's been my privilege for the past 3.5 years, and this is my last formal message to you as an English pastor. I'll be here next week, though, so don't fret about that. But it's been a privilege for me to be your pastor for the past 3.5 years. And my hope and prayer is that you will be a blessing, and God will bless you, and that you will be a blessing to others. And as a whole, you have been a blessing to my family and I, or me, whichever grammar you want to use it properly. But my hope is that my family and I have been a blessing to you as well. And I hope that, as I mentioned to a number of people from our congregation the past couple of weeks, I will always cherish our time together. I thank my wife and a number of people who have sent me lots of pictures, and I will definitely cherish them, review them, and keep them. And thank you, Melissa, you're taking pictures now. But anyway, don't worry, I'm not going to cry, Rebecca. But anyway, the whole point I'm getting at is that please don't be a stranger. My email will not change, and my cell phone won't change. So wherever I go and wherever we land, you have more, you can still get a hold of us, and hopefully we will not be strangers. I promised Lean that I will not be a stranger to him, and I will not be a stranger to you as well. So let me just leave you with a passage that I think that, and my kids will say whatever probably next Sunday. So when they come up, I don't want to take whatever they're going to say. But I just want to leave you with this one verse as I begin to process and make my transition out. But I'm going to leave you with this verse that Joshua told the children of Israel when he was about to leave. Now, I'm not passing on, but Joshua was saying this when he was passing on. But I'm leaving. And I wanted to share this with you as he's about to depart, and I think it's a very appropriate verse. I've added something that you can tell that's not in the verse, but I think you'll understand. Joshua said this. He said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. As for me and my household, we will continue to serve the Lord." And I hope that you will be a blessing as much as you'll be a blessing to me. And whoever comes and takes over this post in the future, I know that you will be a blessing to them. God bless. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word as we looked in Psalms, as it talks about blessing. You have blessed all of us so much. And I am one who would be thankful that I've been, and my family have been blessed by this community. I pray for your blessings on this community, this English congregation. We pray, Father, for the future, and we pray, Lord, for the future of her ministry as this body. That, Lord, you would use it to continue to raise up future believers who can go out and reach the next generation with the good news of Jesus Christ, those Asian and non-Asian, so that, Lord, you would be honored and glorified. Thank you, Father, for this morning and the privilege I had to share with them tonight. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, you would just bless whatever was said, that they would take it to heart and use it for your glory. Lord, we pray for the offering that we're about to receive in a few moments as well. Pray that you'll bless the giver, and pray that you'll use the leaders to use the resources that is being received to further your kingdom in both the English and the Chinese, that, Lord, your name would be exalted and glorified. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.